Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Now, a very happy new year to all of you out there. And it is that time of year where we all make promises to ourselves about how much better we're going to be in the year to come. Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Welcome to the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you're listening. Hope you had a good Christmas. Probably, like myself, piled on a few pounds over the break and now are promising to yourself that you are going to maybe get rid of them. Or maybe you're going to be more productive. Maybe it's going to be a better work year. Maybe it's parenting. Whatever you're focusing on, we all set goals at this time of year. And a lot of us then don't really follow through on them. That becomes the big problem. Sticking to it so that when we get to the 1st of December next year, you can actually say, yeah, I knocked that out of the park. Well, my guest this week is saying, don't wait until December. You're going to have deadlines this year. You're going to have schedules to meet, and that will make you more productive. Brian Moran, you are very welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Sean. Glad to be here.
Now, so you are the author of the 12 week year is essentially the idea and the premise. You might start. Explain what you mean, 12 week year.
Yeah. So, my partner, Michael Lennington, I, who co-authored the book, we were working with organizations, individuals, trying to help them accomplish bigger things faster. And one of the things we noticed, Sean, is that the annual environment was an impediment, right? We did what most people did. We helped people set annual goals and build plans. And we broke them down quarterly and monthly, some cases even weekly. And we got good results, but we noticed that there was a time in the year when they really executed well. And there was a big portion of the year they didn't execute very well at all. And you know, it was interesting because no one had ever questioned the annual environment. We all just work in it. The world runs that way, but we saw it as an impediment. And so we came across an athletic training process that we took from athletics, adapted to business in a personal setting, and we work in the context of every 12 weeks as a year. And so the benefit of that is there's a deadline that's far enough out to make profound progress, but near enough where you don't lose sight of it. So you work with a greater sense of urgency. I think one of the reasons why people procrastinate, why they're overwhelmed, why they're diffused, it's the annual environment.
Mm. And when you say that people did better at certain times of years or, you know, stuck with it for a bit longer, did you see a trend in that? Were people really sticking to these goals for, say, the first little while you gave them to them and then it dropped off later in the year? Or what trends did you see there for people who were planning annually?
Yeah, there's two trends. One, they tend to start out strong for the first 3 to 5 weeks. And, you know, studies show that by the end of February, most people have given up on their goals. But then we'd see another push at the end of the year, especially in business, right? Because all the bonuses, all the numbers, everything, right? Even quarterly, people say, well, I work quarterly. Well, that's a fourth of a whole. So So there's this mindset, Sean, that happens in that annual environment that I can catch up.
Mm.
Right. If at the end of January, we go to January, everybody's excited. You were right. New year, new you, all that stuff. And what happens, though, is they get to the end of January and most people are behind. But nobody's really concerned with that. Why is that? Well, because the mindset says, oh, I got plenty of time. I got 11 more months to catch up. And it's that mindset that permeates the year. And then you'll see somewhere late in the year, October, early November, something clicks and they go, oh, crap, right? Mm-hmm. And they start to really focus in on the things that matter. So there's kind of those two times of the year. And we went, boy, what if people could operate more like that, but without the stress? And so that's what the 12-week year does. It allows you to be more consistent with the things that matter most.
Mm. So how about then, how does it work for those people who are working quarterly? Because, you know, I'm sure I know them. Some of my friends are, and they have targets that they have to meet every 12 weeks or so, and yet they still tend to fall into that trap. So how do you, even if you have a quarterly goal, make sure you stick to it?
Yeah, so the difference is really getting out of this notion that it's a quarterly goal because it's tied to an annual goal, Right. Even companies that report, we work with a lot of public companies. They report quarterly, but in the end, what matters is they make the annual number. And so you gotta get out of this mindset that I can catch up. And so with 12 weeks, there's a hard line, right? We're gonna measure your success or failure at the end of 12 weeks. And one of three things is gonna happen. You're gonna hit the goal, you're gonna be ahead, you're gonna be behind. And then you take each 12 weeks almost like a, not almost like a separate year. So
Right.
we stop at the end of that. We take that 13th week. We celebrate the progress and success, and then we assess and we learn and we plan for the next. We reload for the next 12 weeks. So it's a much more dynamic process. The fact of the matter is, if you're planning annually, you're trying to predict the future, and I have yet to meet someone that can predict the future. So who knows what's going to be happen 5 months from now, 9 months from now? I mean, even in my personal life, I don't even know, let alone in the business and the economy and all the other things going on.
So how do you go about setting targets then? Because a lot of people will think, oh, 12 weeks, that's not a huge amount of time. Maybe I should pare back what I want to achieve. And so even though you're having four separate years over the space of one calendar year, maybe your goals become a bit smaller. You don't aim as lofty. Or maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Maybe you, by chipping away at it bit by bit, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time.
It's a good question. It's actually, we run into the opposite. People set goals that are crazy because we've had thousands of people accomplish more in 12 weeks than they did 12 months. And it's not about taking everything you do in 12 weeks and cramming it in 12 months and cramming it in 12 weeks. It's about really focusing on the critical few. And so what people tend to do is they'll take that annual goal, if you will, and divide it by four. And our experience is that's very limiting. So I like to share the story. Audra Barbeau called me, this was a number of years ago, on September 7th, said, I just got off the phone with my boss. I hit my annual goal. It was September 7th. By the time the end of December came, she had doubled it.
Wow.
Now, that would have never happened had she just taken the year and divided it by four. And so it's really a process of looking at, if you've been annualized, as everyone has, you have to start with that annual goal. But that's a data point. What else? What things do you have working in your favor? What headwinds are you facing? Right? In the end, Sean, what it comes down to is the degree of stretch on the goal is really predicated by, are you willing to do the heavy lifting? Are you willing to do the work it takes to hit the goal?
And so, if you are advising people on how to set those goals, and this time of year, lots of people will be thinking about it. That might be, I want to lose 5 pounds. It might be, I want to get a promotion at work. And some of them are kind of a bit more intangible than others, And maybe that's why we fail as well. You want to get that thing, but you don't really know how to get there. So, what are the keys to setting good goals that will, even if it's something intangible, like I want a promotion and there's no promotions available at the moment, how do you ensure you're building that when it does come up within your time period, you're going to get that?
That's a really good question because there's, some goals you can quantify, revenue, weight loss, that type of stuff. And when you can, you definitely want to quantify them. And numbers are better than percents. The other ones you have to qualify. So what's different 12 weeks from today? So if I want to ultimately be promoted, what needs to be different 12 weeks from today? How will I know it? If I want to improve my relationship with my wife, right? What's different 12 weeks from today? How will I know? I need to qualify that in some, maybe instead of arguing 6 times a day, we argue once a day or once a week. I'm joking, but you get the idea. Maybe we have sex more often. I mean, there's lots of different ways to think about how to improve that relationship. But if I, th there's a tendency on those goals that we can't quantify to measure it by the actions. So for instance, if I want to improve my relationship, I'm going to set the goal as date night. And I like to joke, the problem with that is my wife might not want to go out with me. That is a joke, though. The problem with that is that's an action. And I need to know, what do I want different in my marriage to know if date night's going to help that or not? Do you see
Right, so
that
it's
relationship?
not necessarily about we want to have one date night a month or a week or whatever it is. It's
Right,
like
right.
what gets better by having that date night?
Exactly. Working out, people set workout goals. Workout's an activity. And what happens in that is about 3 weeks in, it becomes drudgery because it's not tied to anything more aspirational. And I've yet to meet someone that their goal is really to work out. It's to lose weight, it's to lose pant size or to lower blood pressure. That's the goal. And so we've got to get very clear on the goal. And if we don't get that right, the execution breaks down and we give up on the goal.
So when you were adapting this principle from the sports world, did you play around with like did you try 13 weeks or 11 weeks? Did you flex? How did you land at 12, I suppose, is what I'm getting at.
We did. It's interesting though, Jimmy. It's interesting though how much of the athletic stuff is done in 12 weeks, and that just seems to be the optimal time frame, that it's a long enough time to make massive progress, but near enough where you don't lose sight of it. We do have people though that occasionally will set two goals. One they're going to try and knock out in the first 6 weeks, one in the next 12 weeks. So there's flexibility in that. But if you go much beyond that, what happens is it tends to be too far out and you lose the healthy sense of urgency. Much closer, and there's not enough time to move the needle.
Do you find people, the same way they do with the work year, a great first month or first 4 weeks, not so great a middle 4 weeks, panicky last 4 weeks?
It can even in a 12-week year, they can lose focus like that. Yeah. And so, but the beauty of that is, you know, with our system, we're counting down the weeks. You know what week you're in, you know how many weeks you have left, you're tracking your results, you're scoring your execution. So you're managing that pretty tightly. And then there's support in that too, right? You need peer support. I mean, if you're going it alone, it's study after study has shown you're really stacking the odds against yourself. So the you know, I think what happens more often is I'll have a bad week and then I see that and then I recover. So the beauty of that is we recover a lot faster in a 12-week year than we would in an annual environment. Sometimes in an annual environment, it'll take months to recover. In a 12-week year, it won't be more than a week or two.
I think that's something that's a really key one for anything you want to do in life, that you might have a bad week. You might even have a bad day if it's losing weight, for example, or eating healthier, and
Oh,
you have
yeah.
one bad day. But oh, well, sure, I've had a bad day. I may as well. It's the weekend now. I'll have a bad weekend and then I'll start again on Monday. And that becomes a week and it becomes a month. And I may not be just talking about myself here.
Yeah, that's why you got to be connected to the goal. The goal has to have some emotional connection for you. And you have to realize that you are going to stumble. Somewhere in that 12 weeks, you're going to stumble. Maybe for a day, like you said, maybe for a week. That's okay. I can't change the past, but I can learn from that to make today, to win the day, win the week. And what we found is that you can stumble, have a couple bad days. If you win the week and you do that enough, at the end of 12 weeks, you're going to be where you want to be. Long term, you're going to be living your best life.
So what would you suggest for somebody who is sitting down, either maybe after starting this or even after the first 12 weeks or the second 12 weeks, and you're redrafting your plans? It sounds like quite a healthy thing to sort of keep your eye on the ball a few times a year as to where you want to go and how you are. But is there a process that you find works particularly well for dealing with that? And for also, I'm thinking of the Warren, what's the frame of Warren Buffett method of you write down your 20 top things you want to do and then you eliminate the bottom 15. And just
Yeah.
focus on a few. Is that the best way, or should it be a broad sweep of life review?
It's probably similar to that. What we look at is we always start with a review of the past 12 weeks, and we look at seven key areas in life, from spiritual to spouse, partner to family, community, right, finance, and just to get stock of where I'm at, and our in each one of those, which direction are we moving? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? And so if I'm setting life goals, you know, I'm going to look at, again, I can't take on too much. Every time I take on one more goal, the probability of me being great at any of them diminishes. So when we coach people, we're talking about one goal is better than two, two is better than three. When you start to get more than three in any one area, it's going to get really challenging. So I'm looking for the area that I want to make the greatest improvement in. Same thing in business. We plan as a team, we get together, we put everything on the board that we might pursue. And then we go, if we could only do one of these, what would it be? And if we could only do one more, what would it be? And we stop there and we build that plan out. And if we have any extra bandwidth, because again, you can't build a plan that consumes even 80% of your week, even 70% of your week, because there's day-to-day stuff. At most, the plan's probably going to consume maybe 30% of your week. And that's a mistake people make, is they build these plans that it's, you know, 60, 70, 80% of their week, and then right out of the gate, they're behind, they're overwhelmed. So that's the way we do it. It's a little different than the way Warren does it, right? He eliminates it, but we start out, if we could only do one of these and really nail it. And if we could do one more, all right, let's stop there. Because if we do those two things at the end of 12 weeks, we're celebrating. So let's be great at a few things versus mediocre at many.
And then do you add in more over time? Like when you're doing that review, if you're like, oh, these two things, particularly as a business, or even maybe it's with someone's personal life, with their health or with their eating or exercise, whatever it is, the temptation obviously would be, well, these two things went really well for 12 weeks. I'll add another one in. And is that a good thing to challenge yourself? Or is it like you say, just be really good at those two things and sort of don't focus too much about outside of that lane?
Yeah, so every 12 weeks is a fresh start. So you may set goals in different areas, but we still want it to be focused. And you may find that you have more bandwidth to execute, in which case you can take on an extra goal. Mm. But most people tend to over, one, they're used to planning annually where you can put all this stuff in the plan because you got 12 months. And the other thing is most plans are conceptual. They're not tactical. So they, it looks like you got a few things when you might have a dozen things you have to do. That's one of the reasons why people fail at the goal and become overwhelmed, is the plan really doesn't detail everything it takes to hit the goal.
Mm.
What I've seen shown is most goals take more time and more effort than people think on the front end.
Right. You think you, yeah, oh, sure, I only need a 20-minute walk a day. I've written, but really, you need much more, or whatever it is.
Whatever it is, yep, yep.
So what do you make of people who might come to you and say, well, I've got my 5-year plan and I've got my 10-year plan. Is that just too broad into the future to bother thinking? Because some people are, some people get really freaked out. I don't have a 5-year plan and this guy does. What am I doing with my life?
Yeah. Most of them don't have a 5-year plan because you can't plan tactically, right? So they have some concepts. So what we do, Sean, is we work on vision. We create a long-term aspirational vision, 5 or 10 more years in the future. And even in a company, it's not a tagline. It's what do I want? What revenue do I want? What kind of profit do I want? How many people? What locations? In a personal life, what do I want my life to look like? What's a great life lived look like? The impact, the relationships I have with my kids, the travel we're taking, the house I want to live in, the car I want to drive, all that kind of stuff. Then we bring it near term to 36 months. And then we set 12-week goals that align with that.
Mm.
So there's a thread all the way through. This is really critical.
Oh, you're still muted there. Sorry, just for that last bit.
There's a thread all the way through to the daily actions so that I can connect doing this action with living the life I want to live. Because if I'm going to create a different result, there's some discomfort that comes with that. There's some uncertainty. There's some anxiety. What's the motivation to take that action versus doing what I've always done?
Mm.
So so it's really powerful that that gets connected from the long-term vision to the 36 month, to the goal, to the daily actions.
So Brian, if this is really resonating with people who are listening, how can they find out more? How can they get more of an insight into what you do and what you're doing?
Yeah, you get the book at Amazon or any place like that. You can go to our website, 12weekyear.com. That's the number 12weekyear.com/getting-started. And we've got a getting started course for you and some resources there to help you get rolling.
Well, Brian, thanks so much for chatting to us. Enjoy this year when it ends in March and the next year when it ends in June and all the rest of it. You're already rewiring my brain here.
I love it. Thank you, Sean.
That's it for this episode. Let me explain, like you said, like Brian said, you can check out his book, The 12-Week Year, Get More Done in 12 Weeks Than Others Do in 12 Months. It's on Amazon. It's also on other bookshops, Easton's, Kenny's, etc. You'll get them at your local bookshop as well. I will chat to you next week.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.